Let me ask a question to you tonight as we get started. Have you ever lost anything? Never. Never lost anything? I lose many things. Usually my morning consists of getting up in the morning after the snooze buttons went off about 7 times. And I walk around like this for about 10 minutes. Then my very caring wife, who's very concerned for me, she says, "What's wrong?" And I say, "I'm looking for my shoes. I can't find my shoes." You see, in the evenings, I'm pretty good at taking them off and kind of tucking them away somewhere. But I'm terrible about it in the morning where I put them. So that's how my day usually begins. Have you ever lost anything? More tragically than that, me losing my shoes, more tragically than that, many Christians have lost their joy in living a Christian life. Much more tragic indeed. What was once a great privilege and honor of coming to worship is no longer that way. What was once a great honor and privilege to come to Bible study, it's no longer that way. What was once a privilege to meet with the saints on the Lord's Day, it's no longer that way. They've lost their Christian joy. They've lost the joy in their Christian life. Day by day, week by week, year by year, something happens. Something changes, and they no longer have that encouragement that they once had. They no longer have that motivation that they once had. They no longer have that zeal and that great, wonderful joy that they once had. Surely that if we could rekindle the joy in our Christian life, in our Christian living, that would solve our attendance problem. It would solve our Bible study problem. It would solve our participation problem. Because we could rekindle that joy back in our Christian lives. What are we talking about when we talk about biblical joy? Does that mean jumping and hollering and having a good time? That's what many people tend to believe. But that's not true biblical joy. The word joy, the original word is in the Bible, is the word kara. The word kara, if you look it up, means a calm delight, a cheerfulness or a gladness. That's biblical joy. A calm delight, a gladness, a cheerfulness. Let me ask you another question. What's the happiest day of your life? I remember the day I got married. That was a great, great day. My wife might say something different. I can remember when my children were born. That was a great and great, wonderful day. What's your happiest day in your life? If you're a Christian, the only answer that could be is the day you put your Lord on in baptism. That is the happiest day of your life. Obeying the gospel was the happiest day of your life. And you know what's great about the Christian joy? No man can take it from you. No one can take it from you unless you let them. You can't lose your Christian joy unless you let it be taken from you. Jesus said it this way. He had just told his disciples, "A little while you won't see me. In a little while you'll see me again." He was talking about his death and he was talking about his resurrection. The disciples didn't know what he meant, what he was talking about. And he says this to them. "Do you inquire among yourselves of that I said, a little while and you shall not see me, and again a little while and you shall see me? Truly I say unto you, that you shall weep and lament, but the world shall rejoice at his death. And you shall be sorrowful, but your sorrow shall be turned into joy," the resurrection. "And you now therefore have sorrow, but I will see you again, and your heart shall rejoice." And listen to the next words. "And your joy no man taketh from you." No man can take away your Christian joy unless you let them. Alan Jackson put out a song and it's called Remember When. You're probably familiar with that song, Remember When. And the song is about a young couple when they were dating. And then they became married. And then they had children. And then later on, they had an anniversary. And the theme of the song is Remember When. Remember all these times in our lives. I want you to do a Remember When moment with me. Remember when you obeyed the gospel. Remember when you had your sins remitted. Remember when the Lord added you to His church. Remember how good that felt. Remember how joyful of an occasion that was. Remember when. The Hebrew writer says, therefore we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Slip. Have you ever let anything just slip out of your hand? I let a jug of milk just slip out of my hand one time. It just slipped. I don't know what happened. It just slipped. Christians are losing their joy and it's just slipping. The devil would love for you to lose your Christian joy. Well, Jamie, where is the passage that says it's a sin to lose your Christian joy? I'm not aware of one. But yet, it will lead to other sins. What was once a great privilege to come to church and to worship, it's become a burden. It's become a hassle. You no longer look forward to it. You no longer look forward to Bible study. You no longer look forward to visiting the sick, visiting the widows in their affliction. You no longer look forward to those things. The Christian joy is gone in your life. It has slipped. What causes joy loss? What causes one to lose their joy? Well, the chief joy loser to cause joy loss is sin. Remember in Numbers, the 20th chapter, God told Moses, speak unto the rock, and it will bring forth water. But yet Moses, instead of speaking to the rock, what did he do? He smote the rock. He struck the rock. And God said this, the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believe me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore you shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given thee. Can you imagine? Moses was no longer allowed to enter the promised land. He had led them out of Egypt. He had been a great leader. He had done a great things. Yet God said, you struck the rock rather than speaking to the rock. That had to be the saddest day in Moses' life, my opinion. Deuteronomy 34:4 says, the Lord said unto him, this is the land which I swear unto Abraham, unto Isaac, and unto Jacob, saying, I will give it unto thy seed. I have caused thee to see it with thine eyes, but thou shalt not go over thither. Here it is, Moses. You can see it, but you can't go over. I told you to speak to the rock, and you struck the rock. Sin will take away your Christian joy. And I would suggest to you, either directly or indirectly, your sin will find you out. Let a rebellious child in the home. That brings great, great sadness into a home. Rebellion by a child brings great sadness to a home. Drugs and alcohol bring sadness to a home. It leads to other sins. What about you? You had that Christian joy at one time. You look forward to worship. You look forward to Bible study. You look forward to meeting with the saints. Have you let it slip? Sin will cause us to lose our joy. Fear, secondly, will cause us to lose our joy. Remember when God told Moses, he said, send 12 spies into the land of Canaan, and I want you to spy it out. And I want you to see how great of a land is that I have given you. But I also want you to see how well defensed it is. And look at the inhabitants of the land. And the spies come back and 10 of them say this. We came unto the land where you sent us, and surely it flows with milk and honey. It was as beautiful as they said, as God said. And this is the fruit of it. They brought back a cluster of grapes even, of how beautiful the land was. Nevertheless, Watch this. Nevertheless, the people be strong that dwell in the land, and the cities are walled and very great. Moreover, we saw the children of Anak there. We were in our own sight as grasshoppers, and so we were in their sight. God says, I have given you the land, and the spies come back and say, the land is great, yet the people, the inhabitants of the land, are just too great. We can't take the land. We're as grasshoppers in their sight. Friends, Christian friends, brothers and sisters in Christ, we live in a great nation. But there are many people that are using fear to destroy your Christian joy. Teachers are scared in their school systems to be seen with a Bible. The ACLU might sue you, right? Jesus said, if anyone sues you, give them your cloak too. People are using fear to prey on our youth when they go to college. Mighty professors, intelligent professors are telling them, the Bible is just another book. It's just another ancient document. They're using fear to scare you out of your Christian joy. We should no longer say that there's one church, that baptism saves you. Right? They're using fear to take away your Christian joy. Paul told the church at Philippi, in nothing be terrified by your adversaries, which is to them an evident token of perdition, but to you of salvation. Paul said, for I am not ashamed of the gospel of Jesus Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. We should not fear what man can do unto us, but we should fear God that's able to destroy both body and soul into the flames of fire hell. Fear will take away our Christian joy. Worry, thirdly, will take away your Christian joy. Excessive worry. My wife is a worrier. She just is. She worries a lot. She worries so much, I don't have to worry. And she says that. She worries a lot, I don't worry any. So between the two, we complement each other. There are lots of things to worry about. Worry about your job. You worry about your children. You worry about your home. You have bills to pay. You have, if I had recently, flat tires. You have bad health. You have things that come up. There's a lot to worry about. Worrying, though, can take away our Christian joy. And I don't know all the answers to worrying. I admit that. But I do know what the Bible says about worrying. Paul said, be anxious for nothing. Why, Paul? But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. That word keep there, if you look it up in the original, means to protect by military. It's a military protection. God will keep our hearts and minds. Be anxious for nothing. Peter said, cast all your care upon him, for he cares for you. Jesus said, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. There comes a time when we have to hand our troubles over to God. We have to turn our worries over to God. We live faithfully. We do right. We pray, but we have to turn those over to God. Worry can cause you to lose your Christian joy. I like what the psalmist said in Psalm 51, verse 11. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. There are certainly reasons that a Christian should rejoice. Paul said, rejoice in the Lord. And again, I say rejoice. We should rejoice because of Jesus. When Jesus came to this earth and he was born, the shepherds were out in the field and an angel appeared to them and said, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." We can rejoice because Jesus was born. We can rejoice because Jesus was crucified. Because without that, we have no hope. The Bible says, "But God commendeth his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him." We can rejoice. The blood of bulls and goats could not take away sin. It would only take the precious blood of Jesus Christ. We sang, "Oh, what a wonderful, wonderful day I will never forget. After I'd wandered in darkness away, Jesus my Savior I met. Oh, what a tender, compassionate friend. He met the need of my heart. Shadows dispelling, with joy I am telling, he made all the darkness depart. Heaven came down, and glory filled my soul." We just sing that. We can rejoice because Jesus was born. We can rejoice because he died. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of God. We can rejoice because of the resurrection. Mary Magdalene and the other Mary appeared to the tomb in Matthew's account. And the tomb was empty, and the angel was there. And the angel said, "Come, see the place where the Lord lay, and go quickly and tell his disciples that he is risen from the dead." And it says, they departed quickly from the sepulchre with fear and great joy. Can you imagine the joy that they must have felt seeing the empty tomb? Aren't you glad this life doesn't end in the grave? You shall be resurrected. The Bible says that when Jesus appears, the trump shall sound, the dead in Christ shall rise first, and then we which are alive and remain shall be caught up together with him in the air to be there forever. Comfort ye one another with these words, Paul says. The Bible says, in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. This corruptible must put on incorruption. This mortal must put on immortality. And when this corruptible body shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall we be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" The sting of death is sin. We can rejoice because of the resurrection. We can rejoice because of the church. Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hid in a field, the which when a man has found, he hides, and for joy goes and sells all that he has to buy that field." For he does it for joy. He wasn't made to do it. He wasn't forced to sell all that he had. He wanted to do it. He sold all that he had to buy this treasure in the field. If you're a Christian, you've done that. You've made a commitment to God to put his kingdom first in your life. But another joy robber is that when we let other things come in front of that. Recreation, friends, hobbies, jobs, whatever it might be, it gets in the way of that. And the treasure is no longer as worthy to us as it once was. What about you? Is the church still first in your life? You made that commitment to God that the kingdom would be first when you obeyed the gospel. Is it still first in your life? The psalmist said, "I was glad when they said unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord." We can rejoice when the gospel is preached. Paul said some had the wrong motive when they preached the gospel in the book of Philippians. He says, "The one preached Christ of contention, not sincerely, supposing to add affliction to my bonds, but the other of love, knowing that I am set for the defense of the gospel." Some had the wrong motive for preaching the gospel. They were just trying to add afflictions to Paul. But Paul said this, notwithstanding every way, whether in pretense or in truth, Christ is preached. And I therein do rejoice, yea, and will rejoice. Paul said, I will rejoice when Christ is preached. I will rejoice when the gospel is preached. We can rejoice when the gospel is preached. But more importantly, we can rejoice when the gospel is obeyed. Philip is said to have went down into Samaria, and he preached Christ unto them. And he did many wonderful works and miracles. And the Bible says there was great joy in that city. And later on in that chapter, he goes to the Ethiopian eunuch riding along in his chariot, reading Isaiah the prophet. And Philip goes up to him and preaches Christ unto him. And as they go along that way, the eunuch says, here's water. What does hinder me to be baptized? And Philip says, if you believe with all your heart, thou mayest. And he gets down from the chariot, and Philip baptizes him. And the Bible says, Philip is called away, and the eunuch went on his way rejoicing. We can rejoice when the gospel is preached. We can rejoice when it is obeyed. We can rejoice when an erring child of God repents. Jesus said, what man of you having 100 sheep, and if you lose one of them, you leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after that which is lost until he finds it. And when he hath found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and neighbors, saying unto them, rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep which was lost. And then he says, I say unto you, that likewise joy shall be in heaven over one sinner that repents more than over 99 just persons that which need no repentance. You know the story of the prodigal son. The prodigal son came home and there was great rejoicing. We can rejoice when an erring child comes home. We can rejoice because of heaven. Jesus sent the 70 out on the limited commission and they come back to him and they're happy. They're rejoicing and they tell Jesus, even the devils are subject unto us. And Jesus said, don't rejoice because the spirits are subject unto you, but rather rejoice because your names are written in heaven. Your name is written in heaven. Your name is in the book of life. Rejoice. God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes, and there shall be no more death. Neither sorrow nor crying, neither shall there be any more pain, for the former things are passed away. Rejoice and be glad. It should give us great joy to keep His commandments. It should give us great joy to keep our Lord's commandments. Notice what Jesus said to His disciples. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in His love. These things have I spoken unto you, listen to it, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. Do you want Christ's joy to remain in you? Do you want your joy to be full? Jesus says, keep my commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep His commandments, and His commandments are not grievous. They're not a burden to us. We should want to keep God's commandments. They're not a hassle to us. We want to do it. We want to serve our Lord. We want to serve our Master. What about you? Is keeping God's commandments a burden to you? Is keeping God's commandments a hassle to you? How do you look at that? It should give us great joy to keep God's commands. I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Christ wants us to be happy here upon this earth, but He obviously wants us to be happy with Him in heaven. His commands are not rules that we have to keep us miserable. He knows what's best for us. He loves us. We should want to obey Him. He is our Lord. He is our Master. If you're not a Christian, the Bible says you must have faith, you must repent of your sins, you must confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God, and you must be baptized for the remission of your sins. If you want to abide in Jesus' love, your joy to be full, keep His commandments. I like what Paul said in Acts 20, verse 24. Paul was determined that he would not let his joy be taken from him. He's told the Ephesian elders there on his last time he would see them. He says, "But none of these things move me." He was just told afflictions waited him in Jerusalem. "None of these things move me." He says, "Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy." I'm going to finish my course with joy. Are you an erring child of God, but maybe you've let something slip? You've let the joy in your life and in your Christian life slip. God's commands are no longer something you look forward to. It's something you dread. Coming to church is something you dread. Bible study is something you dread. I plead with you, restore the joy, the Christian joy in your life. Don't lose your joy. Be as Paul was. He was determined to finish his course with joy. Paul said, For me to die and be with the Lord is far better. Have you lost your Christian joy? Do you need to obey the gospel? If you do, render obedience to His will. While together we stand and while we sing.